Hello and welcome to Reliance's podcast. We hope that the message encourages your heart today. If you'd like to join us in person, we meet weekly on Sunday mornings at 8, 9:30, or 11 o'clock a.m. And if you want to find out more about Reliance, come check us out online.
All right, hey, we've been running in prayer. You guys know that. It's been like 2 months talking all things prayer, this vertical relationship with God, praying together, why all that stuff's important. Last week, then we focused on if we're praying, he's talking back. Amen? God talks back, and so he's speaking to you. And so we were praying that rhythm, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. And if he speaks, then we have a responsibility, and that responsibility is to respond. So we're praying, he's speaking, and then we respond to what he says. And so just to recap real quickly, last week we said that we're a body. That's what we are. Scripture says we're a body. We're not just anybody. We are Jesus's body. We're Christ's body. Scripture says that he is the head. We don't have to fight over who the head is because it's him. So we're a body and we have a head. And the head speaks. And the head speaks to the body. And we said, how does he speak to the body? And we likened the Holy Spirit, just to kind of give you a little bit of kind of a metaphor of this, would be the Holy Spirit's like a central nervous system, where the head speaks to the body through the Holy Spirit, and then the body moves. Amen? And so we are, as the body of Christ, a people who hear from the Lord through the power of the Holy Spirit, and then we're empowered to move. We are not supposed to be stagnant. We are people who move. We're sent ones. Yeah? We are sent ones. And so we position ourselves to be people with movement. The church should have movement. I think one of the biggest weapons that the enemy has distracted the bride of Christ with in this day and age is to get us to stop moving. It's like bringing your children sometimes into service and you're like, sit still, right? And then you distract them. And the way you distract them is you get candy for them, or you tell them if you're really good, you're going to get cookies. That's a lie, right? Whatever you can do to try to distract them, because you don't want them to move. This is what the enemy has done to the body of Christ. He's tried to get us to stop moving. He's tried to distract us to believe that the greatest thing that we can do is come into church, listen, and then not respond. And I'm telling you, I believe that God's about to shut down that strategy of the enemy. There's a bunch of people about to carry the gospel everywhere they go. Amen? He wants to divert us. He wants to get us distracted. He wants to get us off of the mission or the missional goal of the church of God. And that missional goal is that we are sent ones. And I'll show you where that comes from. In John 17, 18, and first of all, it comes through all the scriptures. But in John 17, 18, Jesus says these words, as you sent me into the world, I have what? Sent them into the world. And then John 20, 21 says, as the Father has sent me, I also send you. We are sent ones. We are people of movement. We are people on mission. This is the heart of God. We've got to believe that. And you'll see that throughout all of the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, after Jesus' death and resurrection, he's going to come, right? He's going to be resurrected. He's going to come back for those 50 days. And in every one of the ending of the Gospels, he's going to give them a word of what they're supposed to do. He's going to speak to the body, and he's going to have an expectation that his body's going to respond. And so in all of the Gospels, they have a little different take in some of them on what Jesus says. They're all the same. They coordinate with one another, but they're trying to all say the same thing. We are not a stagnant body. We are a body that moves. In some of them, they say, all authority has been given to me. Now you go. In other ones, they say, I'm sending you out with power. In other ones, they say, go and do what I did. all of the Gospels share something about you and I being sent once. And it was the last words of Jesus before he departs, trying to tell his body, you don't get to sit around. You don't get to just sit there and let somebody else do the work. And unfortunately, what we've reduced that down to, I feel, we've reduced the movement of the church or the sending of the church to the fact that we wake up on a Sunday morning and pat ourselves on the back that we made it. We've made our sent ones the fact that we get up on Sundays and come to church. That's not what he meant. That's great. I'm so glad that you're here. But that's not what it meant when he says you're a sent one. What he means is that your life, your mission, everything that you do is on mission as a sent one from Jesus. I'm going to show you a slide. We're going to revisit something we did a few years back. Can you bring up that diagram? When you talk about being a missional family or a missional church, every believer sent by Jesus for the King and his kingdom, that missional living right there in the middle is what we do. And the way in which we do that is we do that in community. That's why you're here. You don't do it alone. You need brothers and sisters to pray with, contend for you. You need brothers and sisters to encourage you. You need brothers and sisters to correct you. Somebody say amen to that. You need that in your life, so we need community, okay? And we do that community in missional living, and we take that to the culture. We don't let the culture define us, we define the culture. And so how we do that is we take the love of Christ and the kingdom of God and everything that he says in his word, we take that to a culture that's hurting and bleeding. So when the culture says destroy everybody and God's word says love your enemies, they see something different. And so we take what Jesus says in our missional living, we take that to the culture and we do it by means of the cross. If anyone come after me, they must deny themselves, take up their cross and follow me. Why does he say that? Because it's at the cross that we find the greatest love was poured out. And it's at the cross that we find the ministry of reconciliation was given. Because it was at the cross that we were reconciled back to God. And so in that missional living, we are cross carriers of the gospel in community for our culture that's hurting. Amen? And so this missional mindset is that you and I are called to be activated in this mission of God in our life. Now, I want to say this something about a missional community. A missional community then is a family of Christ followers bent on the purposes of Jesus, where each of us are sent out into whatever sphere of influence that we're a part of, whatever you do, wherever you find yourself, whatever hobbies you do or sports you do or vocations you have or special interests that you have, you're there to be missional for the King of Kings. And it's not you and I just going out and finding another project. It's not you and I going, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to be a Christian. I'm going to find a project that kind of looks missional, and I'm going to live my life, and every now and then I'm going to give myself over to that project. That's not what being missional looks like. It's not I'm going to give myself to that project from time to time. I am missional in everything I do. Amen? You are missional in everything you do. And I'll tell you why this is important. Because if we're just looking for a project and that's all we're going to do, we'll give ourselves over to that when we're not consumed with our life. Well, you and I both know that we are all consumed with our life. And so we'll never give ourselves to the mission of Jesus. And so our goal as a missional community is to champion each person in the place that you're at right now with the gifts and graces that God has given to you. So I'll give you an example why this is important. When somebody goes and learns a foreign language and they feel a calling, I feel like I'm supposed to learn a foreign language and go to this country. And they go and they get this foreign language, they get this training, or they start getting built up, and then they go and they want to go to that country and they want to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. We slap a label on them. They're a missionary, right? They're a missionary for Jesus. But the same thing is when somebody is here and you're a teacher and God's stirring your heart and you believe you're supposed to go in the school system and teach these kids their things, you know, education, but what you're really carrying is the love of Jesus Christ in you, we slap a label on you, school teacher. And then what we tell you is, you know what, you're a school teacher and you know what you need to do? You need to discover what the ministry is that God wants you to give yourself over to. Do you see what I'm saying? So one person gets the word missionary, the other person gets the word school teacher, and then the school teacher now has to go find something else that's their ministry. That is your ministry. That is what you do. So whatever it is that you do, you're running in the mission that God has you on it. And here's why all of this is important. It's all important because Matthew 9:38 says these words. The harvest is plentiful, the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest field. That word send out, we were talking about this on Thursday morning Bible study, and somebody brought up that word send out. If you study the Greek of that, it means to thrust out violently. I like that. It means that you're coming in so you can be thrusted out violently. Get out there, right? Thrusted out violently, and it's going, this is Jesus' heart of going, come in, get to know his love, grow, and then go out and take it, amen? Take culture over. Don't let culture take you over. Go out there in your sphere of influence, whatever it is that you do, carriers of the love of God and the hope of God. And so even with that building, we were praying on Thursday over that going, Lord, keep our heart pure. That is not a harbor house for people to come in and just sit in their chairs. We want more people in there so that we can thrust them out violently. All right, missionaries, Guatemala team, New Orleans team. We thrusted some people to Guatemala and New Orleans. Coming up here. I don't know who's coming up. Coming up here, you thrusters of the kingdom. Let's do New Orleans first. Who's going first? Yeah? Other team coming up here. Guatemala team, you guys up here too? Yeah, you guys come and hang. These guys, New Orleans, these guys were Guatemala. Run with it.
Hi, my name is Andrew. Some of you know me, some of you don't. I'm a part of the team that the safety team, but God, I'm a contractor. That's what I do in my to provide for my family. But that's what God initially told me to jump in and said hey, you have tools, you have things that you can use. Go to this missions trip and use them. That's what my thought was at first, and God changed everything. In that, my two words in the Bible are "but God," but the whole entire thing was amazing. I didn't use any of my tools. I actually took a couple of them and didn't even use them. But God used the tools that He gave me personally, and He actually developed relationships with people that I never even have met before, and Miss Tammy is one of them. The biggest thing that I have to say is that God is in the business of miracles, and there's so many stories that I have that I can point at and just say, hey, this is this one, this is that one. But the biggest one to me was crazy. We're in the center of Jackson Square. Every person that we had come across, person by person, and they had so many hurts and hang-ups and different things that they needed personally, but all we really could do was pray for them. There was this one time we were walking through and talking to a lot of homeless, and what they needed at that time was food. It was about 9 o'clock. Nobody there had eaten, and there's all through Jackson Square, and it's a large place. We split up into teams of two, and then just went out and started praying for people for food and for different things, but for provisions for God to provide for them. And then right behind us, there was this team from a completely different church. We didn't even talk to. We didn't explain, hey, we're going to be here at this time. Right behind us were people with food and provisions, and Josh even has an amazing story as far as that goes. So you might talk to him afterwards. But like every person, as we were coming back, so we walked this way and then came back and started talking to the people that we talked to. Every single one of them that we prayed for food and provisions, we came back to and started talking to them. Hey, did you get the food? And yes, we got it. Thank you so much. And they, every single one of them was praising God. It was so amazing. It was so amazing. I've got so many other stories, but I'm sure that Tammy wants to share it too. So,
I didn't know what I was going to share, and I've been wrestling with it. And last night before I went to bed, I was wrestling. It took me a while to go to sleep. And God woke me up at 3:50 in the morning and told me what I was supposed to share. I'll get to that in a second. Carl and I, my husband, we weren't planning on going to the trip. All we knew, a team was going to New Orleans, had no desire to go to New Orleans. And one Sunday before church, I thought about four times, I think maybe Carl's supposed to go on this trip. I'm not going, but I think Carl should. And so I asked him before church, have you thought about going to New Orleans? He's like, no, why? And I was like, oh, I don't know, it just came to mind a few times. Found out when we got to church, talked to Josh, that it was Josh leading, and it started the whole ball rolling. And when we found out what it was, we were like, oh, man, we know God's telling us to go. Okay. So we go on the trip. Carl and I, a long time ago, had given God our yes to whatever he had for us. And so we knew this was one of those yeses. And there was a lot of physical attack on our team, sickness and health-wise and stuff. And I was not feeling well for the week before we went. And I had numbness on my left side. The doctor was like, do not leave the state. And I'm like, yeah, I'll see you when I get back. Knowing that that's what God had called us to. Found out this last week it was a little itty-bitty stroke I had, but anyhow. so that while we are there, I got another infection, was sick, had to call the doctor, and he wasn't real happy with me, I don't think, this whole time. But anyhow, since we got back, we've been sick and dealing with sicknesses and stuff, but it's that yes to God. And that when we were in New Orleans on Jackson Square, we were handing out hot dogs one day, and this lady came up, and she, we were giving her a hot dog, and I asked, is there anything that we can pray for you about? No, I'm good. Just got a place to live, and, you know, things are going really well for me. And I said, how about your knee? And her eyes just got big, and she goes, I fell on it a few days ago, and it hurts really bad. And I said, is it okay if we pray for it? And she said, yeah. And so we laid hands on her and prayed, and I was like, is it getting better? And she said, yeah, it is. I'm kind of freaked out. And she said, it is better. And then we talked to her about that was awesome. She had a place to live, but me and my no filter is like, we're all going to die, and it doesn't really matter if you have a place to live right now. If you don't know Jesus, it doesn't really matter what our life is like here. We can live in the nicest house, and she didn't want anything to do with that. But we saw her walk by later and asked her if her knee was still healed, and she said yes. So we're trusting that it will speak to her life, that God saw her, touched, and healed her, and that life is more than a place to live right now. When I woke up this morning, I heard God say, the first step is a yes. And I think that goes with, I don't know why that makes me cry. But some people are like, I don't hear God speak. And just like Aaron was talking about, our life is missional. It is good to go out on street evangelizing and stuff, but it's not an event. It's a lifestyle. And it's when we're sitting in the car repair shop. It's when we're waiting for a pizza in a place. It's when we're in the YMCA working out. It's when we're in the grocery store. There are people all around us that we need to hear God speak to us, to encourage them, to draw them to him. And it's not an event. It's a lifestyle. And it starts with us saying yes, to hear his voice, to go where he wants us to go and do what he wants us to do.
Good morning, everybody. Angie and I and four others went to Guatemala. First, I just want to say thank you to all of you for your prayers and, you know, in this church and particularly, like, when you go there and you're praying for people, we're so equipped to do that because of what we do every Sunday. So it can be awkward at times, but dive in. But so Just a couple things about the trip that really stand out for me. When you're there and you're in the poorest place in the world that you'll probably ever see, you'll ever be, it's easy to be like, oh, I feel so bad for these people. But when you're there and you see the love of God that they have and the faith that they have in God, and you get to pray with them side by side, and you see tears coming down their face because of someone from thousands of miles away cares about them. And, you know, we spoke a lot about that we're here in Kansas praying for you, praying for the people, the groups that we were working with there too. So that was one of, I think, the biggest things that stood out for me. And then, you know, kind of as they were talking about the bond that you have with the team and the gifts that you get to see the other people that you're with, what they have and what they share and just pour out for other people, it's amazing. So that really is pretty special. So I'll share or hand it to Angie.
Hi. So one thing our group had kind of talked about, and we saw throughout the whole trip, was we serve the same God here in our cushy United States as they do there in the poorest parts of Guatemala. And we saw that time and time and time again. There were times we were like walking down the street and we'd see somebody with their boombox on their shoulder, but it was blasting Waymaker. You know, and it was really cool, you know, and in Spanish, yeah, or, you know, and we knew it here. And but one verse God put on my heart was Psalms 22:27, and it says, "All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations shall worship before you. The kingship belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations." And that's all nations. And one really cool story, there are so many, but one of the coolest stories was how God works as the Holy Spirit, as the head, as, you know, the nervous system throughout all the nations. Is we got to meet this girl who almost two years ago, there was a police raid, and the police is very corrupt down there, but there was this police raid where the police went to this community and wrongfully arrested 44 women. The problem is they did not take like CPS with them. And so this girl got arrested. She has six children from six different fathers, all part of gang members. And that night she had had her one-year-old and three-year-old with her, who were left in this home by themselves with nothing. No mom, no nothing. So when they woke up in the morning, they didn't have anybody with them, no adult. And one of the ministry leaders down in Guatemala found out about this raid and knew that he needed to go to her house and rescue these kids who were there by themselves, and took them and got her other six kids collected. And they have to go to next of kin, or they have to go to the state. And so their next of kin, though, were abusive people. And so he's trying to figure out, like, how do we get mom out of prison? How do we get these kids to non-abusive people? How do we harbor them? How do we do these things? So push came to shove. This lady ended up spending a year and 5 months in prison, wrongfully in prison, trying to get a court date, trying to get out to be with her kids. And anyway, so she finally got this court date a year and a half later. And they said, yeah, you're free. We did find you, though, with a handgun that you weren't licensed to have. And she's like, yeah, I have to protect myself from my children's husband or children's fathers and stuff. And so anyway, so they said, well, you have to pay a fine for that. Since you already spent a year and a half in prison, you now have to pay a fine for this gun. And she's like, well, how much? And they said, it's $6,000. She goes, I've been in prison for a year and a half. I don't have $6,000. So her lawyer went to the judge, who does not ever release or give up fines. And he said, is there anything we can do to get this lowered? He goes, I'll lower it to $3,000. And he's like, she still doesn't have $3,000. We don't have $3,000. So he called Life of Hope Ministry, who we work with, and Life of Hope Ministry calls Reliance. And Reliance says, yes, we'll pay the $3,000. And we didn't know this going down there. And that it just goes to show how the Holy Spirit works, because then we got to meet this woman who, she has no idea we're from Wichita, Kansas, from Reliance. And we get to meet her and a couple of her kids. And Jen, Mary, and I got to sit with her while the boys played with the kids. And we got to hear her story. And she says, you know, God used this year and a half that I was wrongfully imprisoned as a correction course. And he used it as a course to get me back on the right track, knowing I was living a life of sin. I was living with these men, and I had all these kids from this time. And he is correcting me as a mother who doesn't want to have her kids raised in that life of gang members and stuff. So she was on probation. She wasn't allowed to go back to the community she was in. She had a home now that, you know, Reliance helped provide for. And she was living this corrected course for the Lord. And the Holy Spirit just laid it on us, and that we got to sit here and listen to her testimony of this little church at 119th and Pawnee that provided for her, that we didn't even know we had provided for her, because we are a sending place, because we are the heart of the Lord who is sending us, and we get to say our yeses to him, and we don't even know what we're always saying yes to, but we get to be that. And as the heart of Reliance, it's been amazing just to see the Lord work in that way. So
come on. Amen. Thank you. That particular story, Angie shared that. I hadn't heard that one until that last service. And I remember getting a call from Life for Hope, you know, and sometimes you sow into things and you don't ever think that you'll hear about it. So we never shared it with the team. But that one really got me, because those six kids had been abused, you know, from this gal. And so they were trying to get them off the streets. Well, in Guatemala City, you're trash to most people. They live on the largest dump. And so hearing that story, I didn't think we would ever meet those kids. And this is the way God works. Amen. And so I just want to say, you're hearing these testimonies, but you guys went. You went through your prayers, and you went through your finances, and you went because you have stood with them as a missional community. And so here's what I want to do. In first service, John Chapeau was sharing how he got attacked really badly before he went to Guatemala City, because he felt like he was unworthy. He had some things in his life, and he's like, I just don't know that I'm worthy to even go on a mission trip. I don't know if that's even for me. And I just wanted to share this word. And then these guys are going to extend their hand out, and we're going to pray this prayer over you guys, and then we're going to baptize some people. Isaiah, in Isaiah 6, he feels really unworthy. He catches a vision of the Lord, and he says, woe to me, for I am lost. And he says, I am a man of unclean lips. And I'm sure there are some people in here who could say, I am lost and I have unclean lips, right? And so he's like, I'm unworthy. Why would you even show this revelation to me? And then the Lord sends his seraphim over, grabbing a burning coal from the altar of the Lord in this vision, touches Isaiah's lips, and he says these words. He touched my mouth and said, your lips and your lips are clean, and your guilt is taken away. Your sin is atoned for. And so he feels unclean. Now he feels clean. And then he overhears in this vision the Lord going, so who should we send? And he goes, me, 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 me. Here I am. What's he say? Send me. I felt unworthy. I felt unclean. I felt like I didn't have the seminary degree. I didn't have all the knowledge. I don't know the Bible like some of these guys know it. I feel really unworthy. And then the Lord touches his lips and says, I've made you worthy. And then his first response from that isn't, okay, good, I can go live my life now. His response is, send me. And so they're going to extend their hands out. We got all these beautiful children in the house. Will you got kids, will you guys extend your hands over these guys? Will you guys put your hands out? We're going to pray this over you guys. Would you guys just receive it? Just open your hands to receive. Father, this world needs stay-at-home moms, stay-at-home dads, and construction workers, and doctors and lawyers and businessmen and women. This world needs people, God, that run in every sphere. This world needs men and women who run in every single missional place that they could be in. But they need men and women in the body of Christ willing to say, yes, here I am. Send me. Send me. And so, Jesus, I pray that this would be a marker of your people all over the world, but especially a marker of this house, that we would be a sending house. And I pray, God, that even as these kids are extending their hands out and anointing these adults, that these kids would catch this revelation as well, and they would know, Lord, they're going to go and live life, but they're going to live a missional life. on mission for you. So would you be glorified in this house, God, as men and women say, here I am. Send me. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you so much for tuning in for today's word. We hope that it continues to encourage you and bless you as you go about your day today. And until then, we will see you next Sunday. Have a great week.